Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we recall that your prophet said that God takes the man but not the spirit. We realize that though Brother Branham is gone, vindicated you, manifestly so, told us those things, Lord, that you told him, and we know their truth because you'd already vindicated him, but we're glad that you're here. As he said, the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium, and furthermore, we know, Lord, that you are here to raise the dead, which has not yet transpired, even as you are here to bring us the word. And we're glad that you're here today. As the prophet said, the same one that brought the word is here revealing it. We believe the revelation is going on. Help us, Lord, to take all the things that we were taught, especially in the book of Genesis, and see them go right through to the book of Revelation and see where we stand today. And be a people not looking forward, not looking backward, but looking on what is here present and knowing and understanding what is in this hour. Give us food convenient for us. Give us this day our daily bread, food in season, meat in due season. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night, we did an almost complete review of Sunday's message. That's last Sunday's message on covenants. And again, the main thrust of last night and last Sunday was that the command to promise covenant of Genesis 1:26-27, which was given by God in the spirit of love, wherein he poured out his own instinctive desire to share his glory and his power and his life with his children, and surround them with goodness and mercy in a lavish, material manner, was absolutely not abrogated by Genesis 2:7-17. But as Brother Branham said, Eve, in unbelief and disobedience, brought about an interruption in all nature and all the things that we know today. This interruption in this plan, which has come to pass, and most definitely, you can depend on it that this plan will eventually all come to pass, because Brother Branham said concerning the command of Jesus in Matthew 5:48 to be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven. And he said if God commanded it, then God must make a way in order for it to be done. Now, you'll not find that by any other theologian on the face of the earth. You'll hear them saying that God will empower you, God will help you, and God will do so and so. But he said, seeing God made the command, that it's up to God to do it. And when he explained it, he said, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. For he said, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till there be no evidence? And how in the world could anybody possibly stand in the way of God from the plan that God instituted and made a covenant? And remember, Adam was not called in on it. Adam didn't ask to come to this earth. He didn't know he's even going to come. The only one who wanted to come and knew he was going to come was Jesus. And he said, all right, a body hast thou prepared to me. I come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me. It had to be in the book. It had to be in thoughts of God. It had to be penned in the book. Then God spoke it, and the events began to transpire. So, all right, concerning Adam, and everything concerning Adam and his race was already in the mind of God, was already in a book, and then God began speaking it, and it came into order. So there is no way that the original covenant of God was abrogated. And we find that in the book of Galatians, where it said the law, which was given 430 years later, could not annul the covenant of grace. It could not do it, which was given to Abraham. And the Abrahamic covenant was based upon Genesis 3:15, the remedial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was necessitated based upon covenant number 2, which was law. And in the law was a schoolmaster to lead them to Christ and to keep them with Christ. But you always go back to the original. What did God say? Did he say something that man could throw a monkey wrench into it? And man could say, all right, now, God, I'm going to keep you from fulfilling this. If that's the kind of a God you got in your mind, he is not God. Because of the word God means sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, and nobody can say anything. But on the other hand, you don't get carried away with the sovereign God, who is autocratic and dictatorial to the extent he cares about nobody but himself. That is a lie. Because the bride of God, the bride of Christ, put it that way, even the church which is not part of bride is absolutely a part of God. How could a part of God be lost? How could a God claiming himself a God of love and a father destroy his children? It isn't true. And until you understand serpent seed, you will never understand true sovereignty. You won't understand foreknowledge and election and predestination. You will get messed up every time. You come to the place where you got to realize that Moses never came back and said, Pharaoh, God bless you. I'm going to pray for you and see what God will do for you. He came back and he said, Pharaoh, listen to me. You're finished, boy. I mean, you're finished. And before God's through with you, you'll know what it is to deal with God. Our church has got it all mixed up. They don't believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't believe the God of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth exists. The only thing is he doesn't have nations anymore beating down nations. And that's where Israel made his mistake. He said, go in and slay utterly. And they said, we got a better idea. You know what the better idea was of some of those birds? Save the young girls and the women for sex purposes. You dirty bunch of dogs. Yeah. Come on, lay it on the table. You want to know truth? This is a pulpit to get it from. I pull no punches for any man. They open their eyes to only close them again so people could pull the wool over them. And they turn around and blame God. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth still holds because he says in the book of Revelation, double unto her double. In other words, what she did to us, the bride, what that hard and antichrist church has done, God has said, well, double unto her double. In other words, you start with two. You can't start with one because one to infinity still brings out one. Because we're dealing to whatever she did double and double it. Now you got it to a, literally, I consider a fourth power. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He's never changed. He will show mercy and who will show mercy. Compassionate those who incapacitate and those he won't, he won't. And he said, the chaff will be burned with fire unquenchable. Where does anybody find, if you're a real true believer in your mind or heart, that God is not the same God in the Garden of Eden? Right on down to right there. Oh, yeah, you believe in a God of evolution, you believe in a God of devolution. If he'd had done what Jesus did, and remember, he stood there as a man full of the Holy Ghost. He just said, it is written. What a testimony. To overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, it is written. So there you see your covenants. Don't ever get them mixed up. God gave that covenant when Adam was in spirit form and Eve was in him. When did God give his covenant to his son Jesus Christ? When he was all alone there and the bride and the whole church was in him, but the bride in particular. Is there a difference? You bet there's a difference. Jesus said, restore to me the glory I had before with you. He said, I'll do it and I'll go beyond that. Don't get As Brother Branham said, don't get your lines mixed up in times like this. That's an angel of God told him. He was out there trying to fish, and he was fishing literally unto men. Well, they said, Brother Branham, you know how to fish. You can teach us a few things. Yes, I'm a fisherman. And he was a good one. But watch it. It's not spiritual just because you're a good fisherman. So I got a friend that always catches fish. So that's nothing. I got a friend who never catches fish. I don't like the guy's fish anyway. Fish is caught in impure waters today. You're eating fish, you run a bigger chance of cancer now, I think, than eating meat, beef. What's it got to do with fishing? Catch fish. It's all right. I got a guy that can do it. What about those that cannot do it? All right, we're talking about this covenant here. And I want to really get back to it without wandering too far. We've got the fact that Almighty God placed Adam and Eve in this particular form. And at that time, he gave them a covenant. And then he put them in another position, which was of the flesh. And he gave them another covenant. And in that covenant, it was said, in the day you eat thereof, dying you surely die. And we know that the tree of the good, knowledge of good and evil was not a tree at all. Because it says every tree was good to eat thereof. And if you ate this tree, you died. So therefore, it was not a tree. You understand what I'm saying? So it's symbolic. He's talking about something different. And you know, right, as you know, all the way from Scripture, she said, I was completely seduced by him. And Brother Branham explained this. The beast for the first time in history since the time of Paul, and the records of truth were lost, that the beast was so much like a man that actually he could breed within the human race and bring forth a hybrid. And because they were so absolutely so close, the hybrids could also breed, which is very unusual, though there are records. Very, very few. But there are records. So anyway, the human race was entirely corrupted. And it went into death. But did that abrogate it? No, it did not. Because he said, in this condition, you cannot exist and live in the condition originally set down. So what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to let you die. You'll rot and decay. Then you'll go back to that body that possibly cannot harm you, and you do any harm in it. And then when I bring you forth in the due time, when the process of time has run out, you will then have the opportunity, and by that time we'll have fulfilled the command of filling the earth. And at that time you'll be fit to rule and reign. Now that's exactly what you're looking at. So do not ever fool yourself. Now let's look at another covenant. And this covenant here is in Genesis 3:15. We've been talking about it, wherein we find that Jesus is to come forth as a woman's seed. It doesn't say that there, but it's implied because we learn later in Scripture. And it says here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now it tells you right here, a woman is going to have a seed, but women don't have seed. Now the woman doesn't even have the XY chromosomes. She's got X chromosome, I believe, and so is the male. But the male has another chromosome, a Y chromosome. And if he's deficient on Y chromosomes, he'll have nothing but girl babies. If he's highly prolific in the Y, there'll be more boy babies. Now, it's not up to the individuals. It's up to God. And under certain conditions, when there's more Y or more X. Now, the woman then is going to have a seed. See? And the word is in the male gender, his heel. So she is going to have a male child. And it's going to be called her seed, but she doesn't have seed. She has an egg. And it takes two to make a true seed. So there's going to be a problem here. But she has this covenant given to her. So, consequently, the whole Adamic race of of seed God, the seed of God, is bound up in this contract. Because God is duty bound to put man where he said he was going to put him, which is in control of the universe. And now listen to me, you will notice in the second contract, the control of the universe is not mentioned. The mentioning is, go out there and plant and sow and reap. Remember when God told Israel, I'm not going to let you take over all of Canaan land at this time, get rid of all the people at this time. If I do, the beasts of the field will be so numerous that they'll begin to cause you problems. I'll let those people out there, those sinners, I'm going to destroy and cause you to destroy. They're going to keep the animals in control until I'm ready to give it all to you. You see how God works? Now he's working right here in the garden. And he doesn't tell them, you're going to control it all, as he told them before. There's a work ethic involved. Now Adam doesn't get very far with God and with nature, because he begins naming all the animals. And that's as far as I know he got. Maybe he got to the birds, maybe he got to insects, I don't know. If Brother Branham said he did, I'll take his word for it. But I've got no word here. He named the animals. And each animal was noted to have two of a kind. In other words, same nature, same characteristics, same seed. Not with Adam. It was within him and hadn't been separated. And now they're separated. And at this time, God puts them together to work in the garden. Now then, understand this. The contract still held that Adam and Eve, as co-rulers, had the power to control the universe. God never abrogated it. But they're under a law. And the law is a schoolmaster. And man and woman were so made that they had to develop character through the training of life. It was not given to them to have a perfect character. The Bible says even Jesus was not given that. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And in this period of training, because God was looking forward to them being in bodies, that's what he wanted for them. Not spirit bodies. Physical bodies. That could redound to the glory of God. And they muffed it. They blew it. Now, they would have eventually come to sex. Don't anybody ever think that's not so, because it is so. The prophet said it. They would have had to. But they blew it in their period of training, where she gave way to unbelief and seduction. <clears throat> 46% of the girls are no longer virgin by the time they're in high school. And I believe that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'd put it at 80, if not 90. You say, well, of course the men wanted it. I'm going to let you know something, honey. There's never a time when they don't. You're stupid. There's time you parents begin teaching your kids you're obligated. Like you're never obligated before. Because believe it or not, you're at the end time. Men and women are rotting on their feet. Yes, they're dying, rotting on their feet. And what I'm saying this morning is going right over your heads. Because you don't believe it. Because you're not affected. There's no family in this church that's not affected by divorce some way or other. And before long, there won't be one family here that's not affected by AIDS. And the college level is almost to the level of those in prison. And the high school's catching up. You know why? Because we sat around like a bunch of bums, voted for a bunch of idiots that have taken the understanding of God out of the schools. So where it is. As Brother Branham said, it was Eve, not the man. And it's true. Now you say you're going to clamp down on women. I'm not clamping down on women. I'm just preaching the Word of God. He said it wasn't the man, it was the woman that caused the interruption. They lost their beautiful home in Eden. They brought the world into sin. The cause of every murder, every death, every suicide, every drunk. But you know something? She was deceived. And Adam wasn't. He entered. He was the one that went right into sin. And God said, Adam, this is how you're going to leave me. You better watch it. Now listen now, you Adams. I'm going to tell you something flat. This is where you leave God, by looking at women the wrong way. And you women will entice the man. Don't tell me you won't. I know better than that. I can't even tell you to watch those pleats in the back of your skirt. I see girls, shame on you, bringing her right up to here. You want to be a little old Carol out of Monaco, where she bears her breasts and everything here, and that's smart? You say, Brother Bale, that's just a little bit. That's the tip of the iceberg in you, kid. Don't tell me different. But you'll do it anyway. You can't be told anything. Because, see, that's all the church is going to do is tell you. We're not going to ride herd on you. And when God told Adam and Eve, he said, goodbye, kids, and he walked off. I'll be back to see you. Oh, they said, Papa's gone. Well, the cat's away, the mice will play. So I thought Eve was a very wonderful person. She was, but she was human. Nothing wrong with being human, but under a contract. But let me tell you something. The original contract was not abrogated. God came back in the scene and he said, woman, I'm going to tell you something. You fell. You messed it up. And Adam, you went into it with your eyes wide open. You got troubles. So for 6,000 years, you never put your hand to the tree of life and eat and live mortal. For 6,000 years, you're going to go to the grave. And the one hope that you have of getting back here is a resurrection. And you will get it. And I've got word for you. When you come back in that resurrection, you will be totally fit. But not until then. To take over the universe. Promise of God is not failed. He said right here, woman, you're going to have a seed. Now how is she going to have a seed? Well, I can tell you one thing, the serpent wouldn't do her any good. He messed up with her. And I can tell you Adam wouldn't do any good because he was condemned for doing it. And he did it with his eyes open, knowing exactly that she was his wife, and he saved her from the wrath of God by acting like God and walked right out on God, just the way the Bible states, the way God said he would do it. Now, don't tell me I'm wrong because I'm right. Now, then don't sit there and muddle and get all down in the dumps. Because God knew they were going to do it. He just didn't make them do it. And they did it. Now God will come on the scene and the woman will have a seed. Now how in the world is she going to have a seed when she can't have a seed? Well, the prophet of God told the truth. If God made a command, then God makes a way. And you could see it under Abraham. Sonny said, God will provide us a sacrifice. And God created a ram. I never knew that till Brother Branham told us. How beautiful. And as the worlds were all created by God in Christ Jesus, now he will recreate by God in Christ Jesus through God creating a sperm and an egg with the variable life that came from him in that life known as the Son of God. Took and reduced himself down, Brother Branham said, God got so small, reduced himself right down to sperm and an egg. Put that in the virgin womb. And she was able to bring forth that virgin-born Son of God. So herein we see that God sovereignly covenanted to restore humanity by one of its own. Listen, God sovereignly covenanted and said, I will restore you by one of your own. The woman will have a seed when she hasn't got a seed. I'm going to do something by her and through her. That is a son of God, son of man. If I had my blackboard, I'd write it. It's a hyphenated term. Son of God dash son of man. One person. A son of God, son of man must be forfeited as a sacrifice. Thus redemption of the sons of God by the Son of God. Yeah. Son of man. True sacrifice will bring to pass, and does bring to pass, the final annulling of the curse of Genesis 3:16-19. For behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed. And in it will be brought about the complete renewal of our universal system, so that man can be placed where God said you're going to be, and this is my covenant. Okay, Romans the 8th chapter tells us that absolutely. Beginning at verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry our Father. Now listen, the availability, or put it this way, the susceptibility of bondage lay in Adam and Eve in their spirits. They were susceptible. And they got into bondage to what is now known as beggarly elements. Beggarly elements would mean this. We should be in control of them, and they're in control of us. You have not received the spirit of adoption. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, not one of bondage to fear again. Remember, Adam got scared and even got scared. The spirit itself bears our spirit that we are the children of God. And their children then heirs of God. Now there you are, right back to the Garden of Eden, original promise. And joint and children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now listen. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And remember, he is on the throne. And we are priests and kings unto God. And what is a king? He is on the throne. So therefore, New Jerusalem is one vast throne city. Peoples and kings inhabit it. And if children heirs, heirs of Christ, joint heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And it tells you right there, every son that God receives will be trained and will suffer. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, that's the way it is. You're not going to change it. Ah. For I reckon the present sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And this is not concerning the spirit body. This is concerning the physical body that's raised from the dead. And as Paul himself said, I have not apprehended that which is for the resurrection from among the dead. But he said, if I were in that state where I could apprehend it, I would not die. And in this body, I claim ascendancy right now by virtue of Christ in me. I own it all with Jesus, and I'm over it all. That's because I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, who said all things can be done, and I am one of them through Jesus Christ our Lord. The man stood right there with the testimony of the truth. He said, for the earnest expectation of creation is waiting upon the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the resurrection among the dead. And it's the second part, not the first part. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him was subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. God sharing his glory with us, and in his final stages, by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the life coming back on us, will put us in the reigning position. Covenant of God. One of those one-sided covenants. Yes, sir, because God says I'm going to do it. And he will do it. He's doing it now. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together now. And not only they, but ourselves also, even though we've got the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Even we ourselves groan in ourselves waiting for the adoption. That's redemption of our body. Your soul always was right. Brother Branham said there'll come a day when you realize you always were saved. Adam didn't have a bit of trouble. He got in that body. But he had to have it for the whole purpose and plan of God. Because look, if that was the only way that we could attain to the fullness of what lay in God beneficially as concerning you and me, that's the way to go. How much would you put up with? What would you really be like? And I'm speaking of myself too this morning, if we really caught an understanding of this. If we really realize. You know what they're doing in all the churches? I hear them every day. I like listening. It's on the radio. I go back and forth in the car and I just turn on Springfield and I get it. Psychology. Psychology. Christian Science. Unity. Positive thinking. Oh, they're all good. But I won't do what this will do. Now, you might want to combine some of this with it because the Bible's very strong on bringing the mind under control. I'm not against it. But mind by itself won't do it. Takes the Spirit of Christ within the individual. So here you can see the restoration, the curse coming to an end. Now, Israel missed Abraham's faith when their turn came. And God came down to them in a human form, the same as he came down to Abraham in a human form, which was merely patterned human. Now, Jesus was actual flesh and blood. What Abraham saw was a theophonic form. Now, let's go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and talk about Abraham, because that's part of our study. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and tents. Who in the world wanted that? With Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. But he never gave up. He kept looking for a city, not a bunch of tents. Not running around. When did anybody ever tell you you were a bunch of nomads? A bunch of Arabs? A bunch of Semites that belong on the wrong side of the fence with Ishmael and the others? We're not a bunch of Arabs. Even they got enough brains to know if a palace is a whole lot nicer than a fancy tent. I'm not looking as a net result to have some place I'm going to be out sweating with in the hot sun or something. I'm going to be a city dweller. I got my sights set on what God wanted. Now, I know a lot of people, well, I don't think I want to go if I can't fish. Well, the Bible said there's no more sea. So you fishermen can stay home. You guys that joined the National Rifle Association, you want to keep shooting, you know, forget it. You won't be happy. You know I'm just kidding you. You can fish all you want here and shoot all the targets, everything else. But I want to let you know something here. This Bible does not advocate a special residency for hunters and fishers and this and that. A child of Abraham wants to be in that city, and I am a city dweller. No, I didn't. I don't like the country, but I'm going to be happy just looking out and seeing it. I've always told you my idea of roughing it is a good Holiday Inn. Lots of screens on the window. Air conditioning. A lovely restaurant. I don't even have to go outside the building to get to. And look out and see the water. And I love the desert. I like it hot and dry. Ain't no mosquitoes out there either. I never found a sand chigger yet, although it might be sand chiggers. I've never seen a Gila monster or a rattlesnake out or anything out there. I've seen pretty flowers and beautiful cactus, the Palo Verde tree and the rest of them, sure. Oh, I like it. I like it the way I like it. I'm going to enjoy it. If I get there, I'm going to enjoy it, and I intend to get there. I put my reservation in. They just haven't accepted the date of arrival. I've had word back. I'm just waiting for it because I think it's around the corner. Yes, sir, it says right here, he looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham made his own tents. But he looked for a city. And now listen, that's what he promised in the garden. The control of the universe by remote control. The control of the universe, how far we get, is not by reverse remote control. It's by the sweat of our brow and what ability we can bring forth from our minds in order to join with nature and overcome nature. And then we set up our little machines up there, and they run all around. They go to Venus, and they go to Mars. They go around, and everybody says, isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, there's a cloud up there. And I think very surely, because it's a cloud up there, that gives way. The bang theory is no good anymore. We got to get another bang theory. At least we know one thing. There ain't no God. And they find a rock, and there's a bit of protein, they think. Ha ha, they say. There must be life there because I found protein. They're stupid. There's not one shred of evidence of evolution by mutation. Now, you worry about your kids going to school. Keep them home. Do your best. You can do it now. Because the schools that have kicked out God are going to hell. They and the teachers are going to burn in the lake of fire. And now, you know what? I'm giving away to romantic thinking. This is not romantic. This is Lee Vale thinking. It wasn't very romantic. And I begin thinking, I wonder how many pupils are going to start chasing their teachers around hell. The lake of fire to catch up and duck their heads under and scream. And curse them for bringing them there. How many nice people in church are going to scream and curse to get their hands on the preachers that denied the truth? And won't wait to duck them in the flames if they can. And you think maybe the black boy is tough when he said, Whitey, we're going to take you with us. You wait for the judgment, the lake of fire. They're going to combine, look at Satan. Look on him narrowly and say, oh, you're the bird then. Oh, you scuzz bum that made the world to tremble. You filthy, you dog. And we got sucked in by a jerk like you. You ain't nothing from nowhere. And you exalted yourself above the heavens. And you teachers, And you legislators, I'm not sure this is going to happen. In fact, I'm sure it's not going to happen. But I'd like to see God just turn them all loose. Where dog eats dog. And men come back and say, you did it. Now, they're going to do it the white throne, but I don't think they're going to chase each other around. I just threw that in to let you know that's how I feel. Because I remember when I was a kid, I was already in my teens, and we had a high school teacher whose name was Lorna Dalgleish, and that's Scotch whether you know it or not. And her father was a minister of the United Church of Canada. That's why I fuss at Canada. I'm a Canadian by birth, and I want to tell you, I know the filthiness of the spirit up in that country. It's bad, just bad down here, but it's more evident up there. And she said, well, you know, she said, let me tell you about the book of Genesis. It's just Jewish fable, the same as the Norwegians have theirs about Odin and the rest of them. And I said, well, she ought to know. She's a preacher's daughter. I could have died right there, except for the grace of God, and I was one of the elect. Oh, listen, brother, sister, I'm going to kid you. All right, now this covenant, back Genesis 3:15 with the true church, is the real everlasting covenant. That's a covenant by blood through the death of the testator according to chapter 9 of Hebrews 14:15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit and in no other way, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. God was in Christ reconciling the world. God was in Christ dying. Now listen, understand this, or your minds will never understand the Word of God in Godhead. It always was God in Christ. And Christ is the Son. So God took of Himself in the beginning. And what could form of that essential substance that we call God's Spirit stood there. Then God came into it. That was the first step of Him turning Himself into human flesh. And it says, now how much more shall the blood of Christ, Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's how He reconciled the world to Himself. That's how He died. The Bible directly says something which I never heard anybody ever say, but Brother Branham, Jesus was the blood of God, and it's right in the book of Acts. Are you understanding me this morning, letting your thinking go? You can't go beyond this thinking as far as I know. I've looked, I've studied, I've made notes, gone by the hour. That doesn't mean I'm the only one who could ever get it. Don't think that for one minute. But I'm telling you, this is what the Scripture says. And when you find what the Scripture says, it's an end of argument. Now watch. And it says, and for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And it tells you right there what God set forth as the ultimate has come into actuality only through and by the seed of the woman. God in the seed, shedding His own blood and giving His own life. Because the whole thing ends up as being God with a cover on it. Have you ever seen the life of wheat? Take a wheat, go ahead. Bill's got some right out here. He dropped some out of a truck, like in Greg's truck. Want to bring a handful in? I'll rob any number of banks. Kill any number of people I can get away with, especially drunkards. I'm not drunkards, but drug peddlers, rapists. If you can show me by any microscope the life that's in that wheat. Can't do it. You can't do it. There's no way you can tell that. Now listen here. That life of God in there took on itself a form, and that form could take blood. The soul of God literally built a body the same as your soul built a body, and your soul was not commensurate with what lay in you. I mean, your body that you built here through human structure was not commensurate with what really lay in you. But God demands the human structure. So He elevates the human structure to the position of glory. Immortality. Now you're fine. But if you die today, you go to your spirit body. When Brother Brandon comes back, he's going to bring his spirit body with him. And we'll be able to see him. But when he brings his spirit body, we won't see that, because he will have already picked up his physical out from the ground. But if the Lord wanted to, he could let us. But I don't think he wants to. He let Brother Branham see it. Brother Branham crossed to the curtain beyond time. And there he saw them. And you could feel them, hug them, everything else. But he couldn't eat and drink. You say, what's so important? Well, I got to drink the Lord's Supper over there and eat bread when I get with him. So it's very important. So what I'm trying to show you in this little facetious way is that this is the ultimate that God wanted and the only way He could get it for us. You say, well, I don't think I like that kind of wisdom. Nobody ever loved the wisdom of God. They want to live like pigs. Yeah. All we want is one thing. Let me eat, drink, and be merry and good health and do somebody before He does me. And by the grace of God, let me just keep on winning. You don't think that's true? How come Colombia is a nation of renegades and drug peddlers and the government's dead with them? And America's no better. America is worse. It is, honest to God, it's worse because the prophet was here. The coming of and the death of the seed of the woman, which is actually the seed of God, but produced through the human race, is found all the way through the Bible. There's hundreds of references to it. And what was a prophetic utterance. Now remember, the prophetic utterance is based upon, in the volume of the book it was written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. So therefore now it is a prophetic utterance. It is said before God, the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head, though he will bruise his heel, and his is a male. And the woman doesn't have the Y chromosome. But she's going to have it. She brought forth other sons, I think, and daughters afterward, but not this way. The Holy Ghost came upon her in this creative act. This prophetic utterance, with God being His own prophet, and God is always His own prophet, comes to the grand finale of Revelation 19 and 11. When He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, having been crowned by the bride at His incarnation to take over part of the world, the full government building to the New Jerusalem, starts the final chapter of the return. And this, remember, starts the final chapter of the full return of ownership of the earth to the seed. And goes on to the New Jerusalem. And this is indeed true, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a house for you. City. Many people there. Like great kingdoms, Brother Branham said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. So that's enough on the seed of the woman. Let's go a little further. As we moved along in Genesis, we found another kind of covenant by oath of God. sworn by God according to his righteous judgment, which was within himself. And he made an everlasting covenant at the time of the end of the flood, which we see in Genesis chapter 9. And this covenant was given a rainbow as a sign or token that God would never ever purge the earth by water and thereby diminish it, because the world went from full orb of a landmass to 1/6 landmass and 5/6 water. In the book of Revelation, you will find that the rainbow God appears again, and the word is given to John, there was no more sea. So God says, I'm going to tell you something. Every time you see the rainbow, I want you to go right back to Genesis, when there were rivers of water, no huge oceans at all, and realize I gave that to you at that time, that you would have a people to cover the face of the earth. Right now we're running out of land. Oh, it's a mess. They scared the boots off of poor old Brian Kasurik. He got word that somebody's buying up all the land to put in a great big dump. And that's been done right in the high right now, and people aren't aware of it. Toxic conditions everywhere. They see the little fume pipes coming out of the ground. And people go, hello down there. Take one with you and I could kill you. I think maybe it could be Disneyland or somebody else. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, the boy was smart. Called the newspapers, called lawyers, called everybody. Said, it's going to find out what's going on here and we'll stop it. The earth is a polluted mass. Now, the waters are 5/6. And they're finished. Years ago, Dr. Reams, who's dead now, a good friend of mine, said there is no place in America and probably the whole world where you can absolutely get pure groundwater as you once got it. Now, you ever seen an earthquake map? Anybody? I've seen them. Let me tell you what they look like. You ever seen these glass beads? They're not beads, they're marbles. And they're used for decoration. And they heat them, and then they cool them, and they have fissures inside. Like thousands of little breaks inside. That's what the earth looks like. The fissures. The faults. It's a mess. Now then, they're putting atomic bombs in the air. They're putting them under the ground. They're putting waste into the ground. You know what, folk? You're dead. You're dead. You and your kids and your grandkids are dead. There's no way you're going to get out of it. Your immune systems are gone because the filtering word is gone. Your minds have left God for so long, you won't listen and talk about God. And I'm not talking about you people, just out in the world. People. That every horrible sin is in the world magnified. And you're dying. So I'm going to ask you, what is going to be the attitude of the kids today? Now, will I shock you if I tell you, to hell with it. That's right, to hell with it. Oh, we know, Mr. Banker, how you sold us down the river. We know Mr. Bush and Mr. Reagan and Mr. Ford and Mr. Carter and Mr. Roosevelt. We know all how you sold us down the river. And our councilmen. Guys, especially like this bird that we have here. On the world, his name, you know, not Glenn, but the other guy. He can't even run in a high. He gets his money outside of a high. We've seen what they're doing. No wonder our children don't care. And as the old saying is, they're hell-bent for election. They're hell-bent for destruction. They're going to do it. You're not going to stop it. But you better get near enough to God where they don't do it to you and get out of here. Brother Branham said, and he believed the oath of Columbus, which was so horrible, it's in print. He said, I would sooner go through the oath of Columbus than 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Now let's get serious this morning and understand this. There's a covenant given. The seed of the woman, the shedding of the blood of God through Jesus Christ. The human race redeeming itself through God in humanity. Right, the shedding of that blood. Now the rainbow covenant says this, I will never destroy the earth again. I will never diminish it. Right? I won't do it. But he said, I am going to reconstitute it. And the reconstitution will start shortly, just at the time of the Great Tribulation, and when he comes back to establish a kingdom on this earth. And Brother Branham told me categorically whether, he said he didn't know the answer, but he said he will at least renovate a portion of the earth. And Brother Branham himself often talked. He said, if you hear a cracked old voice singing Amazing Grace, I'll be up there as Brother Branham made it. He loved the wilderness, the deserts, and those places that had not been hurt by man's hand. And God, listen to me, this same God came down, the rainbow covenant God. The rainbow covenant God came down. As I'm going to tell you, time has run out. It's time for total redemption. It's time for everybody to quit groaning. Even the earth is going to quit groaning. God says, I won't diminish it. He's going to have a city of a bride. Pyramidal city, 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. How many millions? I don't know. I can't understand it. It might even be just a figure that God gave as an illustration to even be greater. And all the kingdoms outside there, all the other sons of Adam, bring their glory. And brother, sister, let me tell you, that is thus saith the Lord. You know it and I know it. But how effective it is down in our hearts are we looking for? I can see Abraham. He said, but listen, I'm going to tell you, you and I aren't like Abraham. Let's be honest, we're not like the prophet. Ours is all watered down, secondhand, thirdhand, so on. I admit that. Look, it's rough. I'm going to tell you, it's the same Spirit of God. It's the same promise. We can have by revelation the absolute understanding since he came down and he raised his hand and he swore by himself, this is it. I am going to purge the world. Time has run out because he's announced it. He said time and eternity have mixed. And when time and eternity mixes, you know one thing, and you know it well. That's the time we can go to the tree of life. If anybody is ever going to do it, it's got to be now. And not die. That's absolutely the word of God. Don't you fuss with that. You just better believe it. You say, well, Brother Bale, this thing is so funny, and that's so funny. Oh, I'm just up here laughing myself to death. It's so funny. Which is why I meant the word peculiar. I knew you were kind of nutty. I'm just kind of being mean in a sense of word to wake you up. And let us all know this morning, brother, sister, this is no laughing matter, but we treat it too casually. It's going on now. If it's not going on now, what was that all about? What was that about? Now listen, tell you, let's go far. I don't much care what that's all about because it wasn't there. Now, it's not that I don't care about it. I wasn't there. But hey, I lived with the man. I know what I'm talking about there. Don't try to kid me. You can't do it. Time has run out signifying the return to Adam by Adam to Eden. And it's time for the earth to be renewed. Now, how did this happen? To the Old Testament saints, as seen in Matthew 27, 53 to 51, 51 to 53. Now, let's go back and see the first part of the first resurrection, but they couldn't take the earth over. It wasn't ready. Because Christ had not fulfilled his ministry. Just that one part of it. He rose from the dead and capped the Old Testament church. He rose from the dead and became the cornerstone of the foundation for the New Testament church. There's a big difference. He was cornerstone back there in Genesis. He became capstone in the Gospels, in the book of Acts. To them. He became cornerstone to Paul. He's headstone to us. All right, Matthew 27:51-53. Let's read it. You see what I'm talking about? If I can ever find it myself. Behold, the veil of the temple is rent and torn from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and they did appear to many. My brother, my sister, those people merely walked on the ground. They were resurrected, and they walked on the ground, and they were taken away to heaven. But let's take a notice over here in Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 7, when 1,000 years expires, Satan's going to be loose. There's going to be an expiration of time. But I want to go back and read. I think I missed the boat. I want Revelation 2 and 7. That's what I want. He that hath the hearing of the Spirit said unto the churches, to him that overcometh. This is the one I want. To him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of the paradise of God. Now, in other words, there's still the paradise of God where literally clothed people have every right to eat to the tree of life. They got a right to it. Now, that's what it says. Now, notice in Genesis, I beg your pardon, Revelation chapter 22. And it says in verse 2, in the midst of the street and on either side of the street was the tree of life. Yield a fruit every 12 months, the leaves of the tree were the healing for the healing of nations. That's very good. Watch verse 12, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates to the city. You've got two different locations. Two different times. Not the same location. One is where you eat to get immortality. One is where you continue to eat, and the leaves are for the healing of the nation, which is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace ruling and reigning in the entire universe. So therefore, according, now listen, here's my understanding. You do what you want with it. According to my understanding, Adam and Eve fell on this earth in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, they were forbidden to take of that tree that they could have taken of and did not take of, partook of another tree, and they blew it for centuries. Now God's got a promise. And he said, Adam cannot stretch forth his hand and take and live forever in that condition. That was the whole key. It wasn't that he couldn't stretch forth his hand and live forever and ever. It was in that condition. Because God was building a city where no defilement should ever enter. No dog, male prostitute, no murderer, no defiler, no liar, none the work of the abomination. Can't do it. See? Right on earth it was. Now, Revelation 22 and 2, with 22 and 14, shows us. We are back to Genesis 3, 22 to 24, and it's reversed. We have to get back to the very place that Adam was. In other words, the tree of life becomes available. And when the tree of life becomes available, you have an Eden. And Eden was God's headquarters. You understand what I'm saying? Eden, Brother Branham said it. I said it many times. I didn't forget that he even said it. It was God's kingdom on earth. Now Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He said that in Luke 17, referring to the fact of himself being there and the days of the Son of Man. Now, remember, Jesus Christ, according to the resurrection, is the Son of God. That's in the form of the Holy Ghost. That's the exact form he was there in the garden. In the human form, they could kill his body, shed his blood. But now he's gone back to the pillar of fire. He's right where he was. But you can't get the same specific even. But you got the conditions. And the conditions are, he is here. And he can be reached. He can be touched. He can be apprehended. Paul said, I'm apprehended for it. But I don't know if I'm going to apprehend it. Now, somebody that's apprehended for it has got to be apprehended. What's going on now? Why? Because the Lord himself has descended from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The church is being put in divine order to get away for the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16 is Revelation 10:1-4. The same mighty covenant rainbow God has come on down. Because the seals are open. The book of redemption is here. And has been brought down to earth. It wasn't brought down before. Why? Because it wasn't time for the earth to be renewed. And the earth cannot be renewed until the living bodies are renewed. Because they're earth. They're waiting for us. And when the first person has his living body here renewed upon earth and is joining those that have come out of the earth, it's all over but the shouting. 3.5 years to go. And it all sets in. And during those 3.5 years, atomic bombs will explode to help it on its course and its path. That's right. It's going to happen just as sure as you're sitting here. It's the word of God. The prophet had thus saith the Lord. Yep. Way back there in Jesus' day, they came out of the ground. That didn't do it. I'm going to tell you, it's going to do it this time. Let me go further. In Genesis 8:14-19, we see a very true fulfillment of what's going on now. We're in a family of God, do not die, but go into the millennium life. The 8 people in the ark did not die. They were carried safely over to the land, which God said, I am yet going to purge, and not destroy as I did by water. I'm going to remold it. Now notice that Adam and Eve as failures in the flesh were still in Eden, and the tree of life was still there. But Eden days were over. It will now take the tree of life back on earth and partakers of it to go back to Eden, because the last ones must be immortal, and the tree of life does it according to Revelation 22:10-14, which tells us in Revelation 4:10-4, seal the book. Revelation 22:10, it says, from this point, don't you dare seal the book. And from that point on, Hebrews 4:12 is fulfilled. The discerning, judging God, from which you couldn't hide, fulfilling 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, coming down the judge, exonerating and condemning, opening the way for us to have this wonderful eternal life that's laid before us by eating of the tree of life. Having our garments washed is another phrase for it. Now what does that? The opening of the 7 seals, of which contain 7 thunders. And this is exactly seen by Revelation 10:4, the days of the voice, the 7 church messenger, when he shall prophesy, all these mysteries will round. And as they run out, Revelation 22:10-14, which I told you about, comes into existence. Seal not the sayings of prophecy's book, for the time is at hand. He that's just is just, he that's filthy, filthy, holy, still, and so on. Now he said, after this, behold, I come quickly. After the appearing comes the second coming. And my reward is with me to give man according to his work should be. That's exactly right. And by the time he gets there, it's total destruction. I'm Alpha and Omega. The beginning, the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that wash their garments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. For outside is every filth and everything, and it's got to be destroyed. Now, under the 7 seal and 7 thunders, their robes are given to them. By the, and how is it given? It was not given in Genesis 3:21. Those were skins of animals. We don't get that. We don't have that. Those are robes given, animal skins. We have our robes washed. We already have them, but they're washed. Under the seventh seal, this takes place. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and I'm trying to go fast because time's running up. It says here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. That's what he's telling you about right there. The mystery of the final end time union, where the bride is going to get from God everything she has need of, because he came down on the last day and said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked. You think you've got a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you, you better come to me to buy gold tried in the fire. You better get some eye salve for your eyes, and you better get the right raiment. What is the right raiment? It's always been the word of God. But this time it's washed. And the robe, they take on the pure, clean robes, sanctified by the blood and the life within the word. This is not Revelation 1 and 5, the one on the throne, or Revelation 7:14, where you see them there, sanctified and happy in the Lord. Though this is necessary for all the bride. But as I said, this is Revelation 5 and Revelation 22:14. It's end time. This is time for presentation. This is time that something is going on. It's just like back in Matthew. He said, come on out and behold the bridegroom. But they didn't behold him. While he was there to be beheld, they didn't have what it took. Well, they said, the only way you can behold this is by having oil in your lamps. Our lamps have gone out. See? They didn't have the right container. It had leaked out. Pentecostal lamps are dead. The word won't hold this word. You can't put a new patch on an old garment. It's a new message. You can't convert and bring them in. Was your brother there? They're some of the greatest folk in the world. I'm not denying that. Brother Branham said the mule works the horse to shame. Now don't sit around and say, well, bless God, I'm one of those horses. I don't do much. Well, come on, man. I've seen dogs that didn't do much either. And cats that only came when you opened a tin of cat food. So don't use that. Just get the truth about the whole thing and the spiritual application wherein it is. This is the mystery of 1 Corinthians 15:49. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but there's a way to do it. It's by the change of the flesh. It's by the way of Almighty God. Just like Noah's message brought a type of immortality, because they escaped death and went into a cleansed earth while living, being a family, so in this message, the applied token takes us all over. No difference. The simplicity of these words go right over people's heads. They cannot understand Romans, the 12th chapter, where it warns you that transfiguration comes by the renewing of the mind. Let me see now. Transfiguration comes because God is going to come down and he's going to say something to me in my loin and this and that, and it's going to change. You know, you blew it. You blew it. Well, see, I'm going to tell you something. Let's be careful here, because this is a great miracle going to take place. And God is going to perform a great miracle. There's going to be a great big scream out of heaven. And at that time, the sleeping saints are going to wake up, and everything is going to be so-and-so, and that's going to do it. You're entirely wrong. That's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. You think it will, but it won't. It's going to take what we're talking about. It's by the renewing of the mind. Every channel to the soul is plugged with the Word of God until there's a reverse flow. We become united entirely and solely with that Word. And it's not by acts of righteousness that we do. You don't start there. You start with believing the Word. Abraham has got a lot to glory in as far as being a fine man doing good things, but not before God. So let's get the thing right. Let's get it right. Or you don't get it right, you're wrong. Then it's the same as 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Israel blinded with the veil upon the minds and upon the heart. Take it away, the Spirit of God begins to work. How's the Spirit of God going to work? Give them the word of revelation because they're messed up with the law. The law made nothing perfect. If righteousness should be good, be given by the law, then there would be a law that gave it. Oh, bless God. It says if you eat this here piece of Limburg or cheese, you may smell terrible, but you're going to be perfectly righteous. Oh, I'll eat that Limburg or cheese if it kills me and the neighbors too. Forget it. Well, see, I'll eat hummingbird's tongues. That's nicer. Listen, you can drink nectar out of a nasturtium, a rose blossom, or anything you think, you're not going to get it. Because it doesn't come that way. It cannot come by a work of the law. It comes through faith. And faith is saying, God said it. That's the way it is. And it doesn't look like I got it. Anybody else has got it. But God said it. Now, if you can't get that far, we can't get anywhere. Their minds are covered. They're veiled. But then Paul said, now listen, when the Spirit of God begins to work and takes that away, then something begins to start in you. What is it? The revealed word begins to take life and change in your atoms. And Paul said, I've got this ministry. So, come on. Now, Brother Vail, look, we know you love Brother Branham. And we know you're very loyal. That's because, you see, you were friends. And he said some nice things about you. But you know you're wrong. No, I'm right. I'm right. I'm not wrong. Not at all wrong. Nothing outside of this message will come to life because no other word has any life in it. Amen. Brother Branham had the ministry that brought the life. And those who don't get it, those who do not walk to the tree of life, immortality, they have been blinded by the God of this world, period. I will not take that back. I'm yelling. I'm shouting. And I'm defying everybody that hears my voice on tape or anyone else. I won't take it back. Till hell freezes over. And I won't even take it back then because hell will freeze over. And I'm preaching rough and I care two bits whether you like it or not. You go home and never come back. That suits me fine. Let me tell you flat, therefore seeing we have this ministry. Yes, sir. As we have received mercy, we faint not. It took a merciful God to give that man a ministry that could have killed him. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation truth, a literal convicting word by demonstration. This is God. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience. What are you going to do about it? Well, theologian says so-and-so. Well, I'm going to tell you, for him, hell will not freeze over. It's going to stay hot. Paul said this was not done in a corner. Neither was this. Who killed Jesus Christ? The theologians. Who put an open shame? The theologians. Who will be the first people blamed? The theologians. And your churches. Your churches that conspire to say, come through us and get salvation. You come through those doors and think you get salvation. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. Do me a favor. Get out of here now. Don't ever say coming to this church did anything for you. You've got to be sicker than I am, and I'm so sick I wish I was out of here. So only one thing can do a thing for you, and that's a revealed word of God, because that's where it lies. That's by vindication. That's not by me trying to figure out scripture, do this or do that. That's by vindication. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So there's an end time gospel. And the end time gospel is Revelation 10 and 7. For it says, in the days of the voice of the seven church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, as God had declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. That's a literal translation. So therefore, right here, they don't believe the gospel of the end time that Brother Branham tried to get to Brother Bose. There is an end time evangelism. How are you going to preach the gospel believing in a Trinitarian God or oneness? There's one God, but it ain't oneness. You say, oh, that's a mystery. I never said it wasn't. In whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of which I'm a minister of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves or by ourselves, but Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, to see that you get this. William Branham was a servant of mankind. You say, Brother Bailey, are you crazy enough to believe absolutely that's going to take place? Hey, listen, I'm banking on it. You're looking at a guy that gave up. Oh, I'd love to be this guy and love to be that. I'd like to be nice here and nice there and do this and do that. I'd like to be a hummingbird and a butterfly flitting around, giving my good cheer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't he nice, God? Bless God. And he is. And I should be a hummingbird and a butterfly. I'm going to die. Why not? I got one word to tell you. He said it right. He said it right. If that doesn't do something, see, but Brother Bale, there's so much out there. Ha ha! 8 souls in the days of Noah. The crowd in this church this morning is big enough to bust the ark wide open. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Some of you sit here, women maybe especially more than men, you won't make your minds up. You say, well, if I believed anything, that would be it. Well, what does that tell you? Master, I'm watching my wife, but she really can take this and really go me ahead of the house. You dirty dog, you ain't nothing. It's not the way it goes. If my wife doesn't believe, I'm sorry for her. She does believe. She believes a whole lot more than she gives herself credit for. I've done my praying about her. Don't worry. I'm certain she'll be where I am. That's one of two places. And I don't intend to go to hell. No. No siree. I'm looking forward to that city that's got foundations. Amen. You can't fool around with this word, brother, sister. They're not in the fence anymore, like I said, Pete. They're not in the fence, brother. Better be Humpty Dumpty. Get off that wall. I'd sooner God pick me up in pieces than be one egg sitting on a fence. Because you let an egg sit on a fence too long, it goes rotten. Where do you stand this morning? With the covenant-keeping God that said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. I'm going to close by reading Acts, the 3rd chapter. If you've heard me preach over the last many years, you know that that is one of my really favorite portions of Scripture. And I kid you not, I love it because it is so good. It says here, when times of refreshing shall come from the present Lord. Brother Branham said that was a big end time healing revival. Even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached before unto you, appointed, whom the heavens must keep in order up there till times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers of prophets, shall the Lord your God raise up unto me up unto you of your brethren like to me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It will come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That's Malachi. And they weren't utterly destroyed when Jesus was on earth and rose again. This is the end time for the Gentiles and for the 144,000 who alone make it, and the rest are utterly destroyed. This is utter destruction when the earth burns like an oven. Now watch what it says. You, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. He said Moses spoke of him, and Samuel starts it. Starts what? Elijah the prophet's ministry. William Branham did not bring one word of God from God. He explained. For he said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. But he always used the statement of Samuel. When did I ever cheat you? When did I take your money? When did I tell you a lie? Samuel discerned. And judged Israel. And he brought Israel to the finest shape Israel ever was in under a prophet. Even Elijah himself did not do it. They ran him out. William Branham had Elijah's ministry starting with this man Samuel. The discernment. The power of God. That quick, beautiful judgment. And he brought, and under it, he brings a bride into the finest time of the bride's existence where she will not die. But she goes on to God. And those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. What days? The days that Peter spoke of, which were two sets of days. One back in the time of Jesus, and one when the Holy Spirit would fall indiscriminately upon all flesh. Like Brother Branham told us. Now he said, listen, you are the children of the prophet. And of the covenant which God made with their fathers. You can't separate covenant and prophets. Saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And unto you first. Now watch. Unto you first. God having raised up his son Jesus, sending to bless you, in turning away everyone from his iniquities. But down here he said, when times of refreshing shall come. So what are you looking at? You're looking at the fact that once more God raises up his son. As Brother Branham said, thank God, how wonderful. He's given us the gift of his son in the form of the Holy Ghost. The covenant of the seed. The covenant of the rainbow. I ask you a question. Every time we see a rainbow, do we believe this message? Do we come to it? We should. How many of you ever been up on an airplane and gone, say, to Bermuda or somewhere and look above the clouds? You ever notice that there's a rainbow in the clouds? It's a perfect circle. I was amazed when I first saw my first one. It was the last one, too, by the way. I never saw it again. And I said, aha, it's come full circle. I had to be an airborne child, an eagle, go on an airplane to get up there and see it, because you couldn't see it otherwise. Now, I'm not saying scientists couldn't see it with a telescope or something. I'm talking about me. We've come full circle, brother, sister. Yeah. Come full circle. Jesus one day said, there'll be some of you standing here who won't see death. He said, that's right. I'm preaching to a people that I believe there's got to be some of you sitting here that are not going to die. Now, I don't mind dying. In fact, I'd like to get out of here. I feel just about the time to go. I don't say God said I'm going to go, but I told God I'm going to go. You know what I mean? I'm sort of trying to make a bargain here. And I feel good about the thought of going. I say, well, are you so ready? Look, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. You know, the hurried I go, the more further behind I get. Too soon we're old, too late we're smart. I don't qualify for anything but the first one. And I'm not saying I'm making a test on God's grace, but it looks like I am. I'll be honest with you. Nothing in my hands I bring. I'm looking forward as I never looked before. I can't see anything. But I know he's there. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I believe like Job, in the last I'm going to stand upon the earth with him. I believe that's true. And no matter what I say or do, that's not going to alter it. is whether my name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe it was. And I got to believe that yours are too. When the dead come back, we're going to have a great time renewing acquaintances. Now, let's rise. Father God, merciful Heavenly Father, I know we haven't really got into the strength by virtue of the Holy Spirit revelation of these covenants, but at least I will say that you have shown us some things, and they are, to say the least, very, very gratifying. To see that you were just building word upon word, covenant, promise, oath, bringing us to this final place, Lord, where the prophet told the truth. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. And Lord, we're looking to you as the builder of the house of which we're a part. And we're satisfied if we don't go any further than what the prophet said, live or die, sink or swim, this is it. There ain't no place else to go. And furthermore, Lord, I wouldn't want to go, not just because I stuck my neck out. And I want to be one of those people that's so stubborn I couldn't change. It's, Lord, where in the world am I going to go? Where am I going to change based on the word that had been set forth before us? What kind of a man would I be if I be a man at all? I would maybe have to qualify for a dog or something, Lord. A literal male prostitute out there just messing around. Filthy, ungodly mess. As Brother Brandon would say, what a filth. Lord, we're not of that. We believe you've cleansed us, washed us by your blood, now washed us through the sanctifying grace and work of the word, standing in the espousal, not arrogating to ourselves something, O Lord, as though we stood up and demanded something, but by faith having seen, and what we saw was light to lead us to the light. We believe, Lord, that we're in touch with you and you're in touch with us. And there's a great grace going on in our lives. There's a renewing of the minds. I want to thank you for it. And Lord, I'm so bold this morning as to say I believe that a work of grace has been done in everybody's heart here, at least most of them. And if not most, then some of them. A work of grace has been done which evermore will make a difference. And nevermore can it escape them. Because they know there is a reality in what I'm preaching. I may not preach it too good. I may not get it all perfect in there, Lord. I don't claim to. From what I see in here, I do not see any abrogation whatsoever of any of the good word of promise you made. But I see a line upon line, a precept upon precept, and ever moving forward. Until the complete word of God is filled in a bride. And we're going to get out of here. Right with the promise of God. I see, Lord, in these pictures that are on the wall, the very word of God. I believe it, Father. To my satisfaction, I can get up and say, this is what I believe, and I'm standing on it. Now, how good I stand and what else, Lord, I cannot make any comment. All I can say, Lord, is what the prophet said. Abraham was a silver dollar and poor old Lot was about a copper. Maybe a penny. Maybe, Lord, all you can expect out of me is a penny's worth. Well, that's it, that's it. But I want to stand with my penny's worth. I would hope, Lord, I'd come up to about a dime anyway. Maybe I have hit him too high. But what I believe in this corner of the realm, and this is it. Now, as for how deep and how broad and this and that, Lord, you know my heart. There's no use trying to lie to you, and I'm not going to lie to you. You know my heart, Lord, and you know all about my life. And if there's anything that I need up here and there are people down there need, we're all one together, same level, same people. I know that your own word said you will never turn away the empty hungry, He said, come unto you all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And God, this morning, we are a heavy laden, weary people. Lord, every promise you gave is a good one. You said, him that cometh out of no wise cast out. We've come to you this morning, Lord. And now, Father, in the closing days, I want to ask one little request. May it be unto us, as it was with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Burn our hearts, Lord, with your presence. Set us on fire. Set us on fire, O God, that no man can extinguish. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Lord bless you. The Lord love you. Dinner be served back there. Tomorrow picnic. You know all about it. Take the name of Jesus with you.